Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Give me just a second here so I can see what I'm doing. Oh, there are lenses in there. Well, I hope everybody's had a great week. Busy week, probably, for most of you. I know it was for us. I know something about trying to get ready for a wedding just seems to take it right out of you. But we got a few weeks left, and we'll try and get everything done. And I know everybody's, we've got a full house today. I guess everybody's here to enjoy the potluck afterwards. And, you know, my wife brought this dessert, and I just, you know, it's a kind of a Heath thing. It's got chocolate pudding and brownies and whipped cream and Heath bars. It's really terrible. Please don't eat it, because whatever's not eaten, I'll take home. So, you know, I'm just saying, you don't have to eat that if you don't want to. So, just a thought. Just throwing that out there. You know, I was listening to the news this week, and they were talking about this last weekend. They were talking about Chicago, and they called it the Bloody Holiday. And it was, you know, it was a shame. They said that last weekend, the three-day holiday weekend in Chicago, they had over 70 people shot and over 13 were killed. I mean, Chicago has been, for the last several years, unfortunately, has been a war zone, almost. And it was funny because they were comparing it, they were comparing what happened in Chicago to the Afghanistan war. And I thought, now that's a strange comparison. I mean, it can't even be close, right? So I did a little research. I wanted to see how accurate they were. And I found out that from October 7th of 2001, when we entered the Afghan war, up till today, so from that day, 2001, October 7th, 2001 till today, there have been 2,335 U.S. soldiers killed in Afghanistan. And that's a fair number. You know, that's quite a few. So then I thought, well, let's look at Chicago. Let's see Chicago. Well, in Chicago, now this is from January of 2003, so this is a year and a half less time, up until December of last year. I don't have this year's stats. But in Chicago, there were 5,212 killed in the same period of time. So it's actually, I guess if you're a soldier, it would be safer to be sent to a foreign country than to be stationed in Chicago. That's really sad. I mean, that's just a tragedy that more than twice as many were killed in the city of Chicago than in the war in Afghanistan in a shorter period of time. And here we see that in this one of the largest cities in the United States, a city that in a country that calls itself Christian, all of these murders and all these deaths. Why is this, brethren? You know, I read that a 17th century French philosopher, Pierre Bayle, he wrote that some of the most bloody battles in history have been waged by Christian nations. No nations are more warlike than those that profess Christianity. Yet Christ tells us in Luke 6:27 to love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. And yet we live in a world that is filled with people that profess to be true Christians, yet by the examples Christ set for us, they would appear to be anything but. So for the remainder of this message today, brethren, we're going to look at some of Christ's examples, and we're going to see if we can better understand what is a real Christian. Let's turn now to Matthew 7. We'll begin there. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If we profess to be Christians, then the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge God, and we have to seek to follow Him. In simple terms, brethren, if we want to be a true, real Christian, then we will do what Christ says to do, what He instructed us to do. Luke 8:21 says, those that hear the word of God and do it. See, it takes an action. You know, we can't just say, oh, I'm a Christian. Because it takes more than that. We have to do what Christ says. We have to follow the example that He set for us. Christ told us in John 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Again, if we're going to be setting ourselves apart and saying that we are true Christians, then we have to do what Christ has shown us. Again, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we're to follow Christ and we're to do whatever He says to do, then and only then do we have the right to call Him Lord. Brethren, that is the biblical definition of a real Christian, that we are following and doing what Christ has instructed us to do. Now let me digress just for a moment here, because every time I say the word Christian, I'm reminded of Mutiny on the Bounty. I don't know why that comes to me, but I always picture Captain Bly saying, Mr. Christian! Now, that's my best accent. Now, trust me, accents, they're my specialty. My kids all know that. They do. They say that my accents all sound the same. They sound like a cross between a Japanese and a Hispanic on crack. You know, they all just, you know, they fully understand that, you know, I'm doing my best, but that just sometimes, but I don't know why that is, but every time I hear that word Christian, I think of that movie. But anyway, so getting back to a real Christian. You know, it's not merely just a set of beliefs. It's not just, okay, I'm going to believe I'm a Christian, so therefore I am. It doesn't work that way. We have to live it. We have to do it. It's not just about 3 or 4 days a week. You know, you pick, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm going to be a Christian. It's not the way it works. If you're going to be a Christian following Christ's example, then you have to do it 7 days a week. It's not just about, you know, coming to church once in a while or every week and saying, yep, that makes me a Christian. It's about the other 6 days too. See, God gave us an example. Christ showed us how we're to live, what it takes. And it takes a change in our way of life. It takes changing, living a certain way 7 days a week. Let's turn to Acts 18 and verse 24. Acts chapter 18. Verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You see, these early Christians, they heard him, and they referred to this Christian way of life, a way they're supposed to be living, as the way of the Lord or the way of God. And that was something that we have to follow, a way that becomes and should become our main focus to follow, the way of God, the way of the Lord. See, that's what it takes. That's part of being a true Christian, a real Christian, is that we are able to follow that path. Yet none of us do this very well. Christ taught, and we have to realize that we have to have a different change in our life. It's not just talking about it. We have to understand that to be a true Christian comes with a change in our life and a change in our lifestyle. Christ gave us a very good example of this in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 19 and verse 16. I think this is a story we're all familiar with. Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to begin in verse 16. Verse 16, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" So this young Jewish man came to him and he wanted to be a Christian. And he asked Christ, what would it take? And Christ said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to them, "Which ones?" And Christ said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall have your neighbor as your love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have measure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This young man wanted to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, but not to the point of giving everything that he had. He didn't want to give every material thing away because that would mean he would have to change his lifestyle. And that wasn't what he was looking for. He was looking for an easier way to be a Christian, to be like Christ. He thought he could do it because, hey, he kept the commandments, but Christ understood he wasn't keeping them properly. He wasn't following them completely to the letter, as Christ told us and showed him. It would have been a different way of life for him that he wasn't ready for. He thought he was there because, as he told Christ, he kept the commandments. But Christ said he had to show him that he didn't have true love for his neighbor. He wasn't willing to give to his neighbor. I'm sure that we all feel we keep God's commandments as well, but maybe there are probably areas we can all improve on. You know, it's good for all of us to go back through those once in a while. I know we know where the Ten Commandments are. I know that we can go back to them occasionally, and we probably don't as much as we should. But to go back through them and to read them and to understand what God gave us to follow, both in the Old and New Testament, His laws and commandments, they're our guide. They're our scriptural guide for us to grow in understanding, to become what God wants us to become true, real Christians. So how do we do that? Well, like I said, we can go back and we can follow and we can read the commandments again at different times. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, we'll probably find a few ways that we can improve. A few things that maybe we're not quite carrying forth to the whole letter of the law. Things that we could just a little bit get better on. Because that's what we have to be doing. Constantly changing. That's part of our conversion. Constantly changing. Constantly looking forward. Repenting means change. Doing what we need to do means we're seeking to do God's will. A constant process to see where we are and where we need to be. It's a process that involves every minute of every day of our lives. It's not a temporary thing. It's not a once in a while thing. It's a thing that we have to make sure we're doing every day. Every activity, every goal, every social situation, whatever our hands finds to do, everything has a point in every facet of our life that reveals to us the true depth of our conversion and our way of life as a true Christian. We can't allow anything of this world to deter us from our goal. We have to have total control of our minds. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. Again, instruction here in God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. "Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." That is not the scripture I'm looking for. That is not it at all. Oh. It makes a difference if you go 2 Corinthians 10:3 instead of 2 Corinthians 3:10. I got it now. Hey, there's other pages in this book. There we go. Let's try this again. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. That's it. Okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have to bring every thought into captivity in our minds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Controlling our minds. To be better Christians, brethren, we have to start controlling our minds. We can't allow them to just wander wherever they want. We have to be in control. We have to make the difference. And that can be a difficult task, brethren. It means we have to get rid of all of the old ways, the things that we know that are not of God. The change that comes with being a true Christian means we totally surrender the self. This organic, physical composition of earth and water and blood that we call the human body, it must be able to totally rid itself of the filth and character that Satan and this world blast us with on a daily basis. Getting rid of the self. That old self. You know, we talk about that all the time around Passover. How we renew. We get rid of the old self. We have to do that. But it can't be once a year. It has to be continually. Continually striving to change, to grow, to be Christ-like. That's what it means to be a true, real Christian. We have to learn to be more than just a good person. You know, I know we know that. I know we all know people, friends, family, people that you look at and you think, man, those are pretty good people. Those are really good people. And even some of them we might even want to emulate and say, man, I wish I could be more like them. But does that mean they're Christ-like? Does that mean they're following Christ just because they're good people? I'm not sure about that. I think that the standard for what they think make them a good person, we have to be careful of that it really is Christ-like. Because most of them, they don't have a clue. And throughout millions and millions, throughout history, millions and millions of people have professed that they were Christians without ever understanding what a real Christian is. I have relatives that are very good people. Okay, I would look at them and say, you know, they would give you the shirt off their back. They would help you in any way they could. They have a good positive attitude. They're not adulterers. They're not breaking most of the commandments. But yet they still fail because God hasn't opened their minds. He hasn't given them understanding. They don't know what the Sabbath is. They don't know what the holy days are. They still eat unclean meats. They still swear. They still do a lot of things that are not of God. Would I call them Christians? No. Because they don't understand. Is it their fault? No. They don't understand. God hasn't given them that yet. He hasn't opened their minds. He hasn't allowed that for them yet. But it will come, brother. It will come. There will be a time in prophecy yet to come for all of these professing Christians to have their chance. We can see that in Revelation. Let's turn back there. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And don't get confused and go to 11:20. Just saying, it happens. Revelation chapter 20 and beginning in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. The time is coming, brethren. A time when all will have the chance to choose a different way of life. To be obedient to God and know the way of true happiness. But brethren, we have to remember that we have to choose today. Today is our responsibility to be making that change, to choosing that way of life, that way to live. Because we have been given the understanding. God has opened our minds. He has given us His Holy Spirit. So our responsibility starts now. And that's tough, because it means we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to make a difference. We have to be willing to put away ourself and to put on God's way of life every day, every minute, every second. And it's hard. It is. It's really hard for us to understand that and to make those choices. We have that task, that responsibility to follow, to be willing to follow God's way of life, His words, His examples given to us, so we are worthy to be sitting with Him as real Christians, followers of Christ in the kingdom of heaven that is soon to come. So again, brethren, our responsibility today is to be real, genuine followers of Christ. Let's turn to Luke 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We must be doing something daily, brethren, with what we have been given. Christ magnified the commandments for us in Matthew 5. He instructed that we should love our enemies. Let's turn there, Matthew 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We, brethren, if we can follow as real Christians the commandments that Christ magnified for us, then we can become fully grown spiritually, to be spiritually mature in God's eyes, and to be worthy of our calling. Can you imagine how much different the world will be if all of the self-proclaiming Christians truly loved their enemies? Can you imagine that? There'd be no more murders. Chicago would go through a weekend and go, hey, we had a zero! Woohoo! No murders this weekend. I don't think that's happened in a long time. But if everybody were able to follow these scriptures, there'd be no more wars. The world would be totally transformed. And brethren, this is a future we have to look forward to. A promise God has made to His church, to those that follow Christ and keep the commandments. A true, real Christian will walk totally always, completely with God. They will live by God's laws and commandments, and in doing so, God will live in them. That is why it is so important for us to be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. God knows we are and are not perfect, and He knows we'll never be perfect, but He knows that if we're willing to admit humbly our faults, if we're willing to admit them and try and change, then He's promised to help us. He gives us that Spirit, that Holy Spirit. And with that help of His Holy Spirit, we have the ability to change through our conversion and our repentance. We can learn to grow in grace. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, and we're going to read just verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to be growing in grace and knowledge, brethren. We're instructed to grow in grace, and that means we are to become more full of the Spirit, increasing our likeness to that of Christ. To grow in knowledge is just as it says, having a better understanding of God's laws and commandments, so we can be better able to apply them in our day-to-day lives. That's what we're to be doing. This helps us to follow more completely the examples from Christ and to become real Christians. If God-like is our true focus and perfect ideal, then we will be studying more. We will be meditating more. We will be praying more. We will be learning to have God-like character. Christ did the same thing that we are to be doing when He was on this earth. Let's look at John 15 in verse 10. It's the glasses. I'm going to blame the glasses. There's lots of words on these pages. John 15, verse 10. Christ gave us an example. He showed us what we're to be doing. He says here in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Again, Christ, perfect example for us to follow. What are we to be doing? We are to be following and obeying God's commandments the same way that Christ did. That's what makes us real Christians. That's what changes us and helps us to become who we're to become. What we're to be doing. Learning and working daily to keep our Father's commandments. He gave us another perfect example, brethren. We have to work at it daily to be led by the Spirit of God. Let's turn back to 2 Peter again, and this time we're going to go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 2. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been given the promise of God's Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us to grow in knowledge. God is literally making us His child by giving us a portion of His Holy Spirit through our calling, our conversion, our repentance, and our baptism. Remember, we have a responsibility also, brethren. We have to change the way we live. Our way of life can no longer be our own. As I said before, we have to get rid of self, and it must become God's way. Christ must be in us, not just out there. He has to be in us, living in us, by our example, for us to be true, real Christians. Let's go to Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Brethren, that's a scripture we should remember and try and live and understand and read every day of our lives. That Christ, the Son of God, lives in us. He has to, brethren. Christ living in us helps us to be prepared for what is to come. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians that before Christ returns, many will be deceived and fall away from the truth. False teachers will lead astray the vast majority of those that call themselves and think themselves to be true Christians. That's why it's so important, brethren. We have to be there. We have to know. We, each of us individually, have to study and prove and understand the way of God. Christ living in us. Because if not, if we're not following Christ's examples, if we're not letting God's Spirit lead us, teaching us, then we're not going to be able to discern when the false teaching comes. We're not going to be able to make a difference, to know the difference, and we can be led astray. There are scriptures that I could turn to, I'm not going to today, but that talk about that. And God gives us the instruction in His Word. All we have to do is follow it. It's right there. We just have to follow it, to read it, to understand it. And He gives us His Holy Spirit so we can better understand it. So it comes back to again, what are we doing to be true, real Christians? Throughout history, there's always been true Christians that believed in and lived by the inspired words of God. They understood the key to being a true, real Christian by living as Christ did and Him living in them through God's Holy Spirit. They understood that they had to repent and to change their ways for God to work with them, in them, so they could be a part of His family. Brother, I could go on with many scriptures today, many more examples of Christ showing us what our way of life should be. But I'm going to save that for another time. So I want to finish up today back in 2 Peter. And we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want us to really think about this. God has committed to us. He has promised His people His commitment to true, real Christians that are living His way of life, that have His Holy Spirit living within them. We have this promise, brethren. We have this promise from God, and we need to remember it. So let's look at that in 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. It's like a history lesson, brethren. We read through these scriptures, and we see the history of the Bible unfolded for us to understand, to better acknowledge what God has in store for us. Going on in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him the glory both now and forever. Amen. Brethren, we have to remember this promise. We know this time is coming. We know God has given us his word through his scripture of what is to come. We have to prepare daily, every minute, every second for that coming. If we are to be with God, we have to learn to be real Christians.